أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Verse number 39 Surah Al-Baqarah Ayah 284-286 لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم Whether you show what is within yourselves أو تخفوه or conceal it يحاسبكم به الله Allah will bring you to account for it فيغفر لمن يشاء Then he will forgive whomsoever he wills ويعذب من يشاء And punish whomsoever he wills والله على كل شيء قدير And Allah is over all things competent In the previous verse, we learned that a person who hides the shahada, a person who hides the testimony that he has, then what is he doing? He is committing sin in his heart. From this we learn that a person's heart also commits sins, and that a person's heart also commits good deeds, actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and he approves of. Over here, in this ayah, we see that whatever a person does, whether he keeps it in his heart, or he expresses it, he doesn't share it with anyone, or he shares it with the entire world. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner. Allah is bikulli shay'in alim. And therefore, he can call us to account for everything. He can hold us accountable for everything, whether we keep it in our hearts or we make it known to everyone. Why? Because لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ To Allah belongs everything that is in the heavens and everything that is in the earth. لِلَّهِ Lam over here is of milkiyah, it is of possession. لِلَّهِ For Allah, meaning to Allah belongs entirely and completely. What belongs to Allah entirely and completely? مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ Everything in the heavens, وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And everything in the earth. So everything in the heavens and the earth belongs completely to Allah. How? That everything is in the heavens and the earth is what? Is Allah's in the sense that everything is His khalq. It is His creation. Everything is His abd, meaning all of that which exists in the heavens and the earth are what? They are servants of Allah. And they are also the possessions of Allah. Allah is the one who fully and completely owns them. Allah is their mudabbir. Allah is their planner. Allah is the one who decides everything concerning them. What? مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ Whatever that is in the heavens. What does it mean by this? مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا over here indicates everything, whether it's material or immaterial, whether it is tangible or intangible, whether it is something huge or something tiny, whether it is something known to us or something that is hidden from us. And what is in the heavens? What is in the samawat? There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kursi. And we learned in the ayatul kursi, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ His kursi, it encompasses what? السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ It's huge. So Allah is the owner of that kursi. And that kursi, which is much smaller compared to the arsh, who is the owner of the arsh? Allah is the owner of the arsh. What else is in the heavens? The arwah, the souls. Who owns them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns them. What else is in the heavens? The stars, the planets, the galaxies. So much creation that we know of, that we don't even know of. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ To Allah belongs everything in the heavens. Imagine everything. We don't even know what's out there. The samawat are so massive, they are so huge. If we intend to travel from one point of the samawat to the other, we cannot do that. And Allah is the owner of all of that. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And He is also the owner of everything that is on the earth. Whether it's on the land or in the sea. Whether it's on the surface of the earth or hidden inside the earth, buried inside the earth. مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Whether it is a creation that is عَقِل, that has intellect, that has reason, like human beings, or it is some creation that does not have عَقِل. It is something that is lifeless. Like, for example, rocks or mountains. Whether it's something visible to us or not visible to us. Whether it is other people or it is the jinn that we don't see. Who owns them? Who owns everything? Who owns us? Allah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ We don't even know what all exists in the heavens and the earth. And if we know, we can never count it. We can never enumerate it. And if we estimate their number, their existence, we don't have any control over it. We don't have any authority over it, because it is all in the possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And in the earth is also me, myself. Who is my owner? Who is my malik? Whose possession am I? Whose khalq am I? Whose abd am I? Allah. He is my malik. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And if everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, obeys Allah, and we human beings have been given the choice, the free will, to obey Allah or to disobey Allah, what suits us? That we should also obey Allah. Because if we don't obey Allah, still, we are His possession. Still, He owns us. Still, He has authority over us. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ He is a supreme authority. وَإِن تُبْدُوا And if you reveal, if you disclose, if you express, تُبْدُوا from بَاد الْوَاوْ from the word بُدُوا, which is to express something, to make something clear. So if you make known, meaning you or human beings, if you make known مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ that which is in yourselves, that which is in your قُلُوب, in your hearts. What is in our hearts? Our feelings, our thoughts, our intentions, our love, hatred, anger, arrogance, wishes, desires, greed, envy, positive and negative. مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Whatever that is in your hearts, if you make it known. Now, how does a person make that which is in his heart known? How? Either through words or through actions. For example, a person has love for someone in his heart. A person intends to do something and he makes it known. How? By telling another about that love. Or by telling another about that intention. The moment he verbalizes that, it becomes known. Similarly, a person can also make known what is in his heart. How? By acting upon it. The moment a person does something, he performs an action, he makes it known. People find out about it. Okay, this is what he wanted to do. This is what he had planned. This is what he does. إِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ If you reveal what is in your hearts, أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ Or you hide it. تُخْفُ from the root letters, خَفَيَ from the word خَفِي, which means to hide something, to conceal something, to keep it unknown. So you hide it. You don't tell anyone about it. It's a feeling, it's a thought, it's an intention that you keep secret in your heart. You don't share it with anyone. Or, it's a feeling, it's a thought, it's an intention that you only keep in your heart. You don't act upon it. What does Allah say? Whether you show it or you don't show it, It's in your heart. Therefore, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah will call you to account for it. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ from ha seen ba, from the word حِسَاب, which is to hold someone accountable for an action. To hold someone accountable for something that they have done. And remember that حِسَاب does not necessarily include punishment. It does not necessarily include punishment. It's to hold someone accountable. To make them realize that this is what you've done. You have actually done it. And this is what you technically deserve for it. يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah will call you to account for it. Meaning He will make you aware of all that you have done, of all that you have concealed. When? On the Day of Judgment. So we see over here that Allah is the owner of everything, including us. Whether we show something or we don't show something, it doesn't make a difference to Allah. Allah is fully aware of what we think, of what we say, what we feel, and what we do. Why? Because He is bikulli shay'in alim. He is knowing of everything. We learn in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 29, Allah says, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Say, whether you hide what is in your hearts or reveal it, Allah knows it. And He knows what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. And Allah is able to do all things. So whether we show it or we don't show it, Allah knows about it. And remember that the moment a person manifests what is in his heart, how? By uttering it or by doing it, he will definitely be held accountable. The moment a person utters, a person does what is in his heart, what is in his mind, then he will be held accountable. As for what a person conceals in his heart, it will be exposed on the Day of Judgment. Which is why the word يُحَاسِبُكُمْ has been used, which doesn't necessarily entail punishment. But what it means is that Allah will make it known to you. Why? Because Allah already knows about it. And then, after exposing it, it is up to Him. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He can forgive whomsoever He wills, وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He can punish whomsoever He wills. يَغْفِرُ from غَيْن فَرَى. And what does مَغْفِرَة mean? Forgiveness. Literally, it means to cover something. The word مغفر, which is from the same root, is used for a helmet. What does a helmet do? It covers the head, and at the same time, it also protects the head. So مغفرة is ستر الذنب مع التجاوز عنه. It is to conceal the sin, to hide the sin, to cover the sin, along with forgiveness for the sin, overlooking the sin, not calling the person to account for that sin. يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, meaning He will make it known to you. He will call you to account for it on the Day of Judgment. And once He tells you about what you've done, what was in your heart, what you said, what you did not show, then it's up to Him. He can forgive whomsoever He wills, وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He will punish whomsoever He wills. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and Allah is able over everything. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qadir, is from the root letters Qaf, Dal, Ra, from the word Qudra. And Qudra is used for ability. But Qadir is one who has complete ability. One who does whatever he wishes. Whatever he wishes, whatever he wants, obviously according to his wisdom. Which is why only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be Qadir. No human being can be Qadir. Only Allah can be Qadir. The owner is Qadir. The Malik is Qadir. The Mamluk, the Makhluk cannot be Qadir. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in Qadir. So we belong to Him. We have to return to Him. And all of our affairs are also in His hands. It is up to Him whether He forgives us or He does not forgive us. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah and then we'll discuss some of the lessons, some of the aspects that we learn from this ayah.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير.
We see that everything, لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is things that we see or things that we don't see, whether it is animals or the jinn or the angels, animate objects or inanimate objects, whether it is creation that flies or it is creation that swims or it is creation that walks or crawls, who does it belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is its Malik. And no one else can be its Malik. Only Allah is the Malik. We, human beings, are not owners. We are not Malik at all. Why? Because we have not created these things ourselves. And even if we claim that we have made them with our own hands, still we don't have complete control over them. You go purchase something, it's in your name. Isn't it so? For example, a machine, a computer that you buy, it's in your name. It's licensed to you. But do you have absolute control over it? No, you don't. Who is the real Malik of everything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we human beings, we also belong to Allah. And we have been given a choice to obey Allah or to disobey Allah, to follow His instructions or to not follow His instructions. But Allah has clarified the way of guidance for all of us. We have read Surah Al-Baqarah. We have memorized the translation of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we have seen so many commands, so many instructions have been given. The way of guidance has been clarified. But we have been left with a choice. It's up to you. You do it or you don't do it. It's completely up to you. It's your choice. However, remember the fact that you belong to Allah. Whether you obey Him or you don't, you follow His commands or you don't, don't forget that you belong to Allah. He is your Malik. And because He is your Malik, you are not here forever. You are going back to Allah. Therefore, it is in your favor if while you're here, you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that every single thing has an end. In this dunya, every single thing has an end. A season comes and it goes. Summer comes and then winter comes. The trees are nice and bright. They're green, they're lush. And then one cold wind. And what happens? They turn orange. Nothing in this dunya is permanent. We are also not permanent. Each one of us is going back to Allah. Why? For the purpose of hisab. We are going back to Allah. Why? For accountability. For hisab. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And what does that hisab mean? That the freedom that I gave you, what did you do with it? The choice that I gave you, what did you do? Did you choose to do what I told you to do? Did you choose to do what I told you to do? Similarly, your strengths, your abilities, your faculties, whatever that I gave you, whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our eyes, our ears, our minds, our time, what did you do with it? Did you use them to obey Allah or did you use them to disobey Allah? So we see that all of our actions, they are going to be accounted for on the Day of Judgment. Allah is going to ask us about them. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And as for مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, what is in your hearts? What is in yourselves? What is it? Thoughts, feelings. If you look at it, if you reflect on it for a moment, there are so many thoughts, there are so many feelings that cross our minds all the time. One moment we're thinking about one thing, And another moment we're thinking about a completely different thing. Our minds are always working. Even when we're exhausted, even when we're tired, even when we're sleeping, we're dreaming. Our minds are always functioning. It is said that in 1 second, 800 things can cross a person's mind. Now imagine, if in 1 second, so many things can cross your mind, how can you ever verbalize all of them? How can you ever share them with someone? Okay, forget about verbalizing. How can you even act upon every single thing that crosses your mind? You can't. Because there are so many things that are coming into your mind. So many things that go through your mind, through your heart. So many intentions, so many feelings, so many thoughts, so many memories. So we think and we forget. We think one moment and the other moment we don't know what we were thinking previously. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget what crosses our mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget what we think in our minds, what we think in our hearts, what we feel in our hearts. Allah doesn't forget. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ He will call you to account for it. So in the sight of Allah, no thought, no intention, no wish, no feeling is forgotten. Everything is recorded. Everything is written. And on the Day of Judgment, we will be held accountable for them. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ Usually we think that it's only our apparent actions, our physical actions, that are being recorded, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us for. But it's also our thoughts, our feelings, our intentions. Even they are very well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you think of it, when it comes to our thoughts, when it comes to our feelings, are your feelings and your thoughts in your control? Are they? Can you control them? No, you can't. Some thoughts, some feelings, they come up in your mind, in your heart, and you tell yourself, stop it, don't think about this, don't think like this. And other thoughts, what happens, they keep coming again and again, again and again. You try to stop yourself, and then you think again. But all of them are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that there are two types of actions that a person does. First of all, actions that are zahir, that are apparent, that are visible, that are tangible. What does it mean by that? Actions that are performed by our limbs. For example, a person says something. It's tangible. It's zahir. The moment you say it, the moment you verbalize something, it is known to other people. They hear it. Similarly, walking. You walk, people see it. It's zahir. It's a tangible action. Similarly, looking. What is that? Tangible, it is zahir. Praying salah, giving sadaqah, doing dhikr, all of this is what? Zahir. The second type of actions are batin. What does it mean by that? That they're hidden. Hidden from who? Hidden from people. A person only keeps it in his heart. It is when a person talks to himself in his heart. When a person thinks and feels in his heart. When a person intends to do something in his heart, when he loves something, when he hates something in his heart, and he doesn't tell anybody about it. Or later on, he tells somebody about it. So there are two types of actions, zahir and batin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Isra, ayah 36, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ The hearing, the sight, and the fu'ad, and the heart. كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا About all those, one will be questioned. If you look at it, hearing, it is something tangible. You have control over it. For example, if there is music playing, you can turn it off. If somebody is using foul language, you can walk away. You can plug your ears. Like we learn about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, once he was passing by somewhere and there was music or something like that, and you know what he did? He put his fingers in his ears. What do we do? I'm not playing it. I'm not listening to it. He put his fingers in his ears. And he said that this is what I saw the Prophet ﷺ doing. So hearing, it's tangible. Basar, seeing. When it comes to seeing something that is wrong, you can close your eyes. You can turn your face away. You can choose not to go to a place where you know there will be haram. You can choose not to see something in which you know there will be haram. But the third thing is fu'ad, the heart. Can you tell your heart not to feel something? The feeling just comes. Okay, then you can suppress it. But the feeling comes. Can you stop it from coming? Can you stop it from emerging? Not necessarily. What does Allah say? All of these things will be questioned about. Why? Because actions, they are also divided in one more way, which is that some actions are intentional and other actions are unintentional. Intentional actions, deliberate actions, actions that a person has control over, a person will be called to account for them. And unintentional actions, over which a person does not have any control, as long as he is suppressing them, as long as he is controlling them, as long as he dislikes them, Allah knows about his heart. They are different. So over here, intentional actions are something that we will be questioned about. For example, you wish to go somewhere, but you stop yourself. No, I'm not going to go. You can control that action. You can control yourself from going or not going. And remember that even intentional actions are of two types. What are they? Good actions and bad actions. For example, when it comes to good actions, when it comes to iman, faith, it could be zahir, it could also be batin. Remember the two categories that I told you? Zahir and batin. It could be something that is tangible and also something that is intangible. So good actions that are deliberate, for example, iman, when a person has iman in his heart. When a person does something, when a person reads something, when a person listens to something to increase his iman. This action is a good action that is intentional and it is batin. Similarly, when it comes to other good actions, they're like taqwa, ihsan, sabr, patience, yaqeen, certainty, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. All of these are what? Good actions. Then the bad actions. For example, nifaq, hasad, envy, bughd, hatred, negative thoughts about people, negative thoughts about Allah. Now remember that good and bad actions, both of them fall under intentional and unintentional. But we see that all of these things, all of these actions will be examined on the Day of Judgment. They will be examined when? On the Day of Judgment. So we see that there are two types of actions that are intentional and unintentional. When it comes to intentional actions, there are two types, good and bad. And we see that all of them will be examined on the Day of Judgment. So for example, when it comes to iman, what was the level of iman? What was the level of yaqeen? When it comes to sabr, how much was the sabr? Was it at the first moment? Or was it after showing impatience? Hasad, what type of hasad was this? Was it justified? Remember the hadith about no envy is permissible except in two cases? Or was it because of something else? All of these will be examined, and depending on their level, depending on their gravity, depending on their seriousness, a person will be accounted for them on the Day of Judgment. When it comes to negative thoughts, did a person try to control them? Or did he dwell upon them? Did he continue to think about them? All of them, all of these actions of the heart will be examined on the Day of Judgment, intentional and unintentional. Actions that we can control and we can suppress, and feelings that come up and we dwell upon them. All of them will be examined. We learn in Surah Adiyat, Ayat 10, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And everything within the hearts, everything in the hearts will be obtained. It will be brought out. It will be laid open. This is what was in your heart. This is the love you had. This is the hate you had. This is the envy you had. This is the hatred you had. This is your heart. Just imagine, if somebody were to tell us exactly how we feel, exactly what we think, what are we going to say? Are we going to be embarrassed? Or are we going to be proud? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Everything is going to be laid out, opened up, on the Day of Judgment. So there are intentional actions and there are also unintentional. When it comes to unintentional actions, what are they? Actions that a person does not have control over. Actions that a person does not have control over. It is those thoughts, those feelings, which just come and go. We don't have any control over stopping them from coming, stopping them from emerging. But we have control over them. In what way? To stop them or to not think about them. So for example, what comes under unintentional? A waswasa from shaitan. Or for example, the feelings of jealousy or the feelings of hatred initially. Why? Because we're human beings. We see something, we don't like it, immediately we're like, why is she like that? Or why did she do that? Or why is she getting this? How come I'm not getting this? So the initial feelings, what are they? Unintentional. But if a person dwells upon them, if a person listens to the waswasa, then that action becomes intentional. And remember that when it comes to the waswasa of shaitan, who does he attack? Where does he attack? Where there is iman. Where there is faith. Obviously, where there is no treasure, the thief is not going to come there. So shaitan is going to come and attack where there is iman. We learn that shaitan does not just attack the believers, but he also tried to affect the messengers. As we learn in Surah Hajj, ayah 52, أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَتِهِ. Why? Because shaitan is our enemy. And remember that the heart is the source of actions. As we discussed earlier, فَإِنَّهُ آثِمُ الْقَلْبُ. The heart is the source of actions. Whatever begins at heart, then it spreads. So when he attacks the heart with a waswasa, then what happens? Everything else becomes easy for him. He just has to put in one feeling of jealousy, one feeling of hatred for someone, and then what happens? We dwell upon it, we think about it, we share it, we talk about it, we think more things, and then shaitan is successful. So we see that shaitan is the one who brings waswasa to the heart, and initially it is unintentional, but the moment a person begins to dwell upon it, the moment a person persists upon it, then a person is accountable for it. And also remember, as we discussed earlier, that once a person manifests what is in his heart, what is in his mind, by uttering it or by doing it, then what happens? He is accountable for it. Then it's up to Allah. Either He will forgive or He will punish. But remember that thoughts that a person does not have control over, many times they're bad. They're negative. So a person should not express them. He should not talk about them. He should not follow them up by action. For example, you read something in the Quran. We're human beings, right? Now one is that you have this confusion, you have this negative thought, and you keep it in your heart and you say, you pray to Allah, oh Allah, you have said there is no raib in your book. You guide me. You open my heart. You give me iman. You make me understand. And the other is that you say to your friend, out loud in the class, out loud in the group. And what happens? Everybody else starts thinking the same. Similarly, there is something negative that you feel. You feel overburdened. You feel very angry towards someone, very upset with someone because of what they have done. One is that you keep that anger in your heart and you say, oh Allah, you give me sabr. You give me patience to accept, to understand. And the other is that you go tell everybody. You talk about it openly in front of everybody. What happens? When we talk about it openly, when we verbalize it, then the virus spreads. And then it's not just us who are accountable for the sin that we ourselves have committed, but we're also accountable for what the other people do because of what we have said, because of what we have done. Remember, initial thoughts, initial feelings, yes, we don't have control over them. But the moment we express them, the moment we utter them, the moment we follow them up by action, then we are accountable. Which is why negative thoughts, negative feelings must be suppressed in the heart. A person should not verbalize them. Why? Because as long as a person keeps it in his heart, he's not accountable. We learn from a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has pardoned my ummah for what they say to themselves. What they say to themselves in their hearts, Allah has pardoned them for that. as long as they do not utter it or act upon it. But the moment they utter, the moment they act upon it, that's it. You're accountable. Because then it's not just you, it's also other people who get affected. Similarly, we learn from another hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his angels, if my servant intends to commit an evil deed, do not record it as such for him. If he only intends to perform an evil deed, it's just the intention, do not record it for him. And if he commits it, then write it for him as one evil deed. If he does it, if he follows it up by action. On the other hand, if he intends to perform a good deed, but did not perform it, then write it for him as one good deed. And if he performs it, then write it for him as 10 good deeds. So we see that our intentions, our feelings, initially, okay, we don't have control over them. But we must not verbalize them. We must not act upon them, because then we're accountable. And we see that these thoughts, these feelings, you know, you try to oppress them, you try to fight against them, they disturb you. Why am I thinking like this? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I like this again? How come this person doesn't feel any doubts? Why am I feeling all the doubts? Why? Why? It happens. We see that the Sahaba, they spoke to the Prophet ﷺ about this issue. We learn that some people from amongst the companions of the Messenger ﷺ came to him and they said, verily, we perceive in our minds that which every one of us considers it too grave to express. We feel, we find in our hearts that which we cannot even talk about. Its thoughts, its feelings, its questions that we cannot even utter. It's wrong to even speak of these things. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you really find it in your heart? Do you really find these feelings in your heart? And you really don't think it's appropriate to utter them? They said, yes. Upon this, the Prophet ﷺ remarked, that is a sign of iman. That is a sign of faith. What? The negative thoughts that are coming into your heart, and you know that you must not express them. Because just as we read earlier, that shaitan comes where there is treasure. So shaitan will put these waswasa, shaitan will put these negative thoughts, shaitan will put these ill feelings where there is some potential, where there is some potential to do something good. Because obviously shaitan is our enemy. First of all, he doesn't want us to do any good. If we have decided to do something good, he puts negative thoughts so that we become indecisive, we become shaky. And if we have done something, then we complain and we waste the good that we have done. Because he's our enemy. That's what he wants. So what do we learn? What did the Sahaba do? They did not utter it. They did not say it. So yes, we may have feelings of jealousy, of envy, of hatred, negative feelings, feeling overburdened, feeling very upset with our teachers, feeling very upset with our parents, with our friends. It's possible. It's possible. But don't verbalize it. Don't say it. Don't act upon it. The moment you do it, you're accountable. So this doesn't mean that, okay, fine, I will only be accountable when I say it, when I do it. So it's okay. I can think whatever. I can feel whatever. It's okay. No. We must also watch our hearts. Why? Because أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ, even if you conceal it, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah may, Allah will call you to account for it. It's up to Him. If out of the shyness of people, out of embarrassment in front of people, we don't say something, we don't do something, shouldn't we have haya of Allah and not feel those things? Not think about those things? Sometimes we do have negative thoughts, sometimes we do have ill feelings, but this is why we're learning the Quran, this is why we're studying the Quran, this is why we're studying it for the second or third time, this is why we're continuing with our study of the Quran. Why? Because the Quran reminds us. The Quran reminds us. So we should try to limit these thoughts, we should try to finish them from our hearts. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Hasibu anfusakum قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُ. Take account of yourself before you are taken to account. call yourself to account before you are taken to account. So it's possible that something's in your heart, but try to limit it. Try to finish it. For example, a person expresses some of these thoughts or feelings to take advice from others. Now, even for that, a person should, you know, be very appropriate that he should only speak to someone who can advise him. And he should only speak as much as is necessary. As much as is necessary. Sometimes, instead of giving one detail, we talk about 10 things. And we don't just say it, we use our feelings a lot. So that would be incorrect. And we say, I'm only venting. A person should talk to the relevant people, concerned people, who can actually do something about it. Why? Because the matter is very serious. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And if Allah asks us, why did you think like this? Why did you feel like that? What can we say? The matter is very serious. Let's listen to the recitation again of this ayah.
لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُم بِهِ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Where you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He can forgive whomsoever He wills, and He can punish whomsoever He wills. Whoever Allah wills. And remember that Allah's mashia, His will, is based on His wisdom, on His knowledge. So He knows who is worthy of forgiveness, how much a person tried to oppress the negative feelings, to get rid of them, and how much a person continued with those feelings, with those thoughts. How much a person spread those negative thoughts, those negative feelings. Allah knows. And with His knowledge, with His wisdom, He will forgive whomsoever He wills, and He will punish whomsoever He wills. And we see that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call a person, will call a believer close to Himself, and He will ask him about every little action that he committed. Including every sin. Did you do this? Did you do this? And the person will say yes. Yes, to the point that a person will think that that's it. He's gone. He's done. He's doomed. And then what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say? That I covered these sins for you in the dunya, and I will forgive them for you today. I will forgive them for you today. So obviously, a person has to be deserving of mercy, deserving of forgiveness. And how does a person make himself deserving of forgiveness and mercy? How? By his effort. How much is he striving to oppress these feelings? How much is he striving to oppress his negativity? How much is he controlling himself? And the negative thoughts, the negative feelings, whatever a person feels in his heart, he doesn't expose it, it's unintentional. Even for that Allah says, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ, He will show all of this to you. And then it's up to him. He will forgive whomsoever he wills. He will punish whomsoever he wills. So if in the dunya a person finds out that on the Day of Judgment he could be questioned about even the feelings in his heart, and if he wishes to have a clean start, then obviously التائب من الذنب كما لا ذنب له. The person who repents from a sin is as though he never committed that sin. Allah is the one who forgives, so we should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recitation.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.